to continue our study of the original book, The Infinite Way, we move on to this chapter, The Christ. This chapter seems to be, well, it feels like three different talks that were pieced together to make one chapter. But it starts like this. Hard it is to understand, by giving away our food, we get more strength. By bestowing clothing on others, we gain more beauty. By founding abodes of purity and truth, we acquire great treasures. Abraham, the Hebrew father, founded the prosperity on his people on the idea of tithing. Giving a tenth of one's income to spiritual or charitable purposes, without any thought of repayment or reward. The immortal can be reached only by continuous acts of kindliness, and perfection is accomplished by compassion and charity. The greater the degree of unselfed love, the nearer we come to the realization of the universal I as our real being. The personal sense of I is busily engaged in getting, achieving, desiring, accomplishing, accumulating, whereas our real self is giving, bestowing, sharing, blessing. The personal sense of self is the embodiment of all human experiences, most of which are limited and undesirable. The real self is the embodiment of infinite spiritual ideas and activities, forever expressing itself without limit or restraint. The small I concerns itself primarily with its personal problems and affairs, enlarging its borders to include members of the immediate family or circle of friends. The personal sense often goes further afield into charitable works or community welfare. And we know that it is personal sense when we analyze the motives which govern. Motives such as being recognized in the community as someone that's charitable. The real sense of self lives out from the center of its being, blessing all whom it touches, and is recognized by its selflessness, by its unselfishness, by its lack of seeking recognition, reward, or any personal aggrandizement. It is not a spineless entity or a floor mop to be pushed around by mortals. It is never seen or known by mortals. Two beautiful illustrations come to mind, revealing in tender scenes the difference between the personal self and the immortal real self. Siddhartha had left his home and family in search of truth, finally receiving enlightenment, and became the Buddha, or the Enlightened One, or as we term it, the Christ of his day. His father, a great king, was about to die, and desiring to see his son, he sent, asking him to return. When he sat face to face with his son, he realized that he had lost him, in the personal sense of father and son, but tried, nevertheless, to reclaim him. "I would offer thee my kingdom," said the king, "but if I did, thou wouldst count it but as ashes." And Buddha said, "I know that the king's heart is full of love, but let the ties of love that bind you to the son whom you lost embrace with equal kindness all your fellow beings, and you will receive in his place a greater one than Siddhartha. You will receive the enlightened one, the teacher of truth, the preacher of righteousness, and also the peace of God into your heart. Yes, you will receive the comforter." The other concerns the great master. While he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. But he answered and said unto him that told him, "Who is my mother, and who are my brethren?" And he stretched forth his hands toward his disciples and said, "Behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother." In proportion as we become spiritually illumined, we are sought out by those seeking freedom from phases of material darkness, sickness, sin, limitations, fear, unrest, or ignorance. We are able to meet these needs only as we impersonalize both good and evil, and understand that harmony is the quality and activity of soul, universally and individually expressing itself. So when you impersonalize evil, what have you? Impersonal, universal mental malpractice, illusion, nothingness. When you impersonalize good, what do you have? Impersonal Christ, God consciousness, the One. In meditation or communion, we become receptive to truth unfolding within us, and this we term prayer. All right, if you say you're going to pray for someone, that means you're going to sit in meditation until you become receptive to truth unfolding within. Not thought, truth. Our prayer should not be connected with a so-called patient. Now that sentence is very important. If you sit down with the idea of a person that has asked you for help, maybe a person from our group that has requested prayer, if you sit down with that in mind, you are asking amiss, because prayer should not be be connected with the so-called patient. Prayer is not a process, a combination of words or thoughts, nor statements, declarations, affirmations, nor denials. See, all that's in the mental realm. Prayer is a state of consciousness in which we experience the realization of harmony, perfection, oneness, joy, peace, and dominion. Prayer or communion brings to the individual some specific truth, and this truth appears outwardly as the fruitage of our own consciousness of real being. So, if you sit down and you have affirmations and denials, declarations, memorized truth, you have no results. However, if you sit down and you are receptive, and something comes to you from the Father within, not a thought, but a realization. What's the difference between a thought and a realization? A thought is when you think, I and the Father are one. That's a thought. A realization is when you feel that truth. I and the Father are one. Oh, I feel the presence right here, right now. I feel the oneness. That's realization. And realization appears outwardly as fruitage. It has been revealed times without number that the talent, ability, education, and experience of every individual is actually capital M mind, which he said meant consciousness. Consciousness unfolding itself in individual ways as artist, musician, salesman, businessman, actor, teacher. It follows, therefore, that mind, consciousness, thus expressing itself, is never without opportunity, recognition, and reception. Thus there can be no unrecognized gift, no unexpressed talent or ability, no unrewarded effort, since all effort in action is mind or consciousness expressing its infinite capacities and capabilities. The conscious awareness of that truth results in dispelling the illusion of unemployment, lack of compensation, or lack of appreciation. Yet, and mark this well, the recitation of these words without some measure of the feel of this truth would be as clouds without rain, vain repetition, nothingness. Isn't that what we do so much of the time and think that we're praying or meditating? We have the conscious words of truth, some truth, and we recite them within ourselves, to ourselves, but we don't have a feel for that truth. I don't mean emotionally feeling it. I mean feeling it with your sixth sense, with your spiritual discernment. There's a difference. One comes from the human mind and one comes from the soul. In the same manner, it has been revealed that as there is but one life, this one is never in danger of sickness, accident, or death. This life is the life of individual being. It is never necessary to direct a treatment at a person or an animal. See, because then you're connecting it with a person or an animal. But always be alert and never accept any suggestion in thought of any other presence, power, or activity than that of the one life, one mind, one soul. To live constantly in this consciousness of harmony would dispel the illusion of sense, whether appearing as sick or sinful person. The declaration or constant affirmation of this truth would avail us little or nothing. Whereas the conscious awareness or feel of this truth would appear as healing and reformation, renewal, even resurrection. Recently I wrote a friend on the occasion of his birthday, and I know he will be glad for me to share with you the ideas that came. As for birthday wishes, I shall just wish that you didn't have any birthdays, so that you could get used to the idea of the continuity of conscious existence without a break or a stop, a conscious awareness of progressive unfoldment. Truly, there is no break in the continuity of unfolding consciousness, nor can consciousness lose its conscious awareness of body, any more than you can lose your consciousness of the developed musical or artistic talent you possess. Consciousness unfolds from within to the without, from a boundless basis or source, from the infinity of your being to the individual awareness of it in infinite variety, form, and expression. Death is the belief that consciousness loses its awareness of its body. Immortality is the understanding of the truth. Consciousness is eternally aware of its own body, identity, or expression. Consciousness, aware of its own infinite being and eternal body, is immortality achieved here and now. Okay, if you have the conscious awareness of your infinite being and eternal body, if you have the feel of that, it is immortality achieved here and now. The awareness of consciousness maintaining its own identity and body is eternal life. The awareness of consciousness forever unfolding in individual forms of creation or manifestation is immortality demonstrated here and now. This consciousness is you. Spiritual consciousness is the release from personal effort in the realization that harmony is. you have the feel inside yourself, within yourself, that harmony already is, then you can relax your personal effort. Why should you have effort to do anything? Consciousness is taking care of it. This consciousness, with its release from personal effort, is attained as we find the Christ within us as a present reality. The Christ is the activity of truth in individual consciousness. It is not necessarily declarations of truth so much as the reception of truth. You see that? Declarations are from the mind. Reception or receiving the feel of truth is from the soul. I guess they could have called this chapter Soul Prayer. And so, the Christ is an activity of truth in consciousness. It is not necessarily declarations of truth so much as the reception of truth. As we attain an inner stillness, we become more and more receptive to truth declaring itself to us within us. The activity of this truth in our consciousness is the law of harmony to all our affairs. So if you just have declarations of truth or thoughts of truth, nothing in your outer will change. If you hear truth, if you are receptive to truth being uttered within you, not thoughts, but the feel of truth, this then becomes the law unto your life. It governs, guides, leads, directs, and supports our every activity of daily existence. Where a belief of illness or lack may be, this ever-present truth becomes our healer and supplier. Yes, our health and our supply. To many, the word Christ persists as a more or less mysterious term, an unknown entity, something rarely, if ever, experienced by them. This we must change if we are to benefit by the revelation of Christ Jesus and many others, of a divine presence and power within us. We must, and he's got musts here. Don't say there are no musts. There's two in this paragraph alone. We must experience the Christ as a permanent and continuous dispensation. Here's the third one. We must live in the constant conscious awareness of truth active within. Maintain always a receptive attitude within, a listening ear, and soon you will experience an inner awareness or feel. And this is the activity of truth in consciousness. This is the Christ. And this understanding of the Christ clarifies the subject of prayer for us. The dictionary explanations of prayer all conform to a concept of prayer which is based on the erroneous belief that there is a God waiting somewhere for you to pray to it in some manner. Then if you find this God in the right frame of mind, you might have your prayers answered favorably. Unless, of course, your parents or grandparents have sinned. But we have a different sense of prayer. We realize that whatever good comes to us is the direct result of our own understanding of the nature of our own being. Our understanding of spiritual life unfolds in proportion to our receptivity to truth. Let's look up that word, receptive. The dictionary says, having the quality of receiving, able or inclined to take in, absorb, hold, or contain, receiving or containing as a receptive mind. So, we are supposed to be at all times receptive, able to take in, absorb, feel truth in our consciousness. Not praying up to mind or consciousness, but letting mind or consciousness unfold and reveal itself to us. This is the higher concept of prayer. It is achieved as we take a few minutes now and then during the day and evening to meditate, commune, listen. In quietness, we become a state of receptivity, which opens the way for us to feel or become aware of the very presence of God. This feel or awareness is the activity of God, truth in our consciousness. It is the Christ, the reality of us. This feel or awareness in our consciousness is the Christ. Ordinarily, we live in a world of sense and concern ourselves only with the objects of sense. However, through our study and meditation, we turn more to the soul side of life. We find that we develop higher thoughts and therefore we experience better conditions. As our mental qualities become more refined and we take on more patience, kindness, charitableness, forgiveness, our human experiences reflect these qualities back to us. But let us not stop there. Higher even than the plane of body and mind, there is the realm of soul, the kingdom of God. Here we find the reality of our being, our divine nature. Not that body and mind are separate or apart from soul, but that soul is the deepest recess of our being. In the realm of soul, we find complete tranquility, absolute peace, harmony, and dominion. Here we find neither good nor evil, pain nor pleasure, but only the joy of being. We are in the world, but not of it, because we no longer see the world of sense as it appears to be. But, having awakened our spiritual sense, We see him as he is. We see through appearances to the real, and we feel it. Through spiritual sense, soul sense, the whole world tends to bring its gifts to us, though no longer through desire for person or thing. In material sense, person and thing are the objectives of our sense, that which we desire. Through soul sense, our good unfolds from within us, though appearing as person and improved condition. Soul sense does not deprive us of the friends and family and comforts of human existence, but brings them more surely to us on a higher and more beautiful and permanent level of consciousness. So it appears to me, on first glance, the name of this chapter, the Christ, is that presence that we feel in meditation, and we become receptive to what it imparts. Sometimes it imparts truth. Sometimes it imparts feelings, not emotions, intuitive sixth sense feeling. Sometimes it imparts silence. Sometimes it imparts itself, and we recognize it. Oh, that's the Christ. And it appears outwardly as forms harmonious to our experience. For many centuries, attention has been centered on Jesus Christ as the Savior of man. And during these centuries, the spiritual sense of life has fluctuated from one extreme to another of light and darkness. A 16th century teacher writes, Christ Jesus calls himself the light of the world. But he also tells his disciples that they too are the light of the world. All Christians in whom the Holy Ghost lives, that is, all real Christians. Okay, so according to this teacher, if you have the Spirit of God in you, then you are a real Christian. If you don't, then you're not. So if you have the feel of the Christ within you, you are receptive to its impartations. You're a real Christian. All Christians in whom the Holy Ghost lives, that is, all real Christians, are one with Christ and God, and are like Christ Jesus. They will therefore have similar experiences, and what Christ Jesus did, they will do also. Our task is the realization of the Christ in our own consciousness. We acknowledge with joy and deep love the measure of the Christ attained not only by Jesus, but by many spiritual seers and prophets of all ages. We are filled with gratitude. We now look forward to the realization of the Christ of our own consciousness and the feel of it there. The kingdom of God is in you, and he who searches for it outside of himself will never find it. For apart from God, no one can either seek or find God. He who seeks God already in truth has him. We must understand the word consciousness, because we can only prove what we are conscious of. Where do we stand in consciousness? Are we still mortals? Or have we renounced our mortal selfhood and acknowledged ourselves to be the Christ, the fulfillment, the presence of God? Are you immortal? Are you the Christ, the presence of God? Which are you? Someday we must give up the effort to get and acknowledge ourselves to be. We must feed 5,000 without taking thought. Out of our Christhood, the multitudes may be supplied. Wherein then is lack except in the belief that we are human? We must give up this belief that we are human and claim our true identity. Are you ready to do that? It's not a matter of walking around repeating to yourself, I am the presence of God. I am the presence of God. I am the presence of God. That's not it. That's on the mental level. Got to go deeper. We've got to go deeper. And first in our meditation, we have to go into our soul. No more thoughts about Christ or the presence of God. Father, reveal the truth. I am listening. I am waiting. I am watching. And then listen. Watch. Be receptive. When you feel this inner movement, trust me, you will know it is Christ. You will know this is the presence. And when it takes place within you, you will have located where Christ is. Christ is not a man that walked the earth 2,000 years ago and was hung on a cross and deposited in a cave somewhere. No, that man had the Christ, the same Christ that's available to you today, if you can go beyond the mind into your soul and receive it. And feel it and know, ah, this is Christ. When we are confronted with any person or circumstance that appears to be mortal, we must, there's a lot of musts here, aren't there? We must realize, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and all that appears mortal is illusion or nothingness. We will fear no mortal and no material circumstance because we recognize its nothingness. Truth is simple. There are no deep metaphysics or mysterious truths. It's either truth or it is not truth. But there cannot be deep truth and shallow truth, nor can there be degrees of truth. Truth to be truth must be absolute truth. We are concerned now with the truth that we individualize infinite power. We want to have the feel of that. We must not look to a power outside of or apart from ourselves. We individualize infinite power in proportion to our conscious awareness, conscious feel of truth. The life which is God is your life. There is but one life, and this is the life of all being, of every individual. You individualize this eternal life, and it is no less God in one than in another, and it is diseaseless and deathless in all. Our consciousness, our feel of this truth, is the healing influence within us. How powerful, how awesome, how amazing is your consciousness of truth, your conscious awareness of truth, your feel, spiritual discerning of truth. That's the whole thing. Your spiritual discerning of truth is the law unto your life. Is the law unto your life. There is but one mind, one consciousness, God. You individualize this omnipotent, omniscient mind, this consciousness. Therefore, your mind is the ever-present help in every circumstance. Yes, if you are not thinking thoughts, if you are receptive to the Father's thoughts, my thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. If you are receptive and you receive God's thought or God's feeling of truth, you will know. There's no mistaking it. None at all. It flows into you and through you, and you feel it. Ah, yes. Christ. For this reason, you do not pray to or contact some far-off mind or consciousness, but realize the omnipresence of divine mind as your mind, your consciousness, and then let go of the seeming problem. Okay, so you realize, you get the feel of omnipresence, and you let go of the seeming problem. The awareness of this truth, the feel of this truth, establishes you in the consciousness of the presence of mind, life, truth, God. The understanding of the oneness of mind as your mind, life as your life, is truth, eternal. The next step in unfoldment is the realization that as the individualization of mind or consciousness, you embody within your own consciousness your body, your business, your home. You can only prove your dominion over the weather, climate, income, health, and body, as you know these to be ideas in the mind or consciousness which you are. These ideas, home, employment, body, are ideas within you, subject to your understanding, and the consciousness of this truth gives you dominion. The conscious awareness of this truth gives you dominion. The feel of this truth gives you dominion, freedom. It does not exalt humanhood or make it divine. It wipes out humanhood and reveals the divinity of you. Do you see that we must no longer sit down and start thinking of truths? That's not prayer anymore. That's prayer for the beginner. We're not beginners. Prayer for us is something different, something radically different. We sit down and we shut up. We stop. Listen. We may even say out loud, "Be still. I am speaking." And stand ye still. You want to know Christ, whom to know aright is life eternal? Stand still and behold. Watch. Wait. Listen. Receive ye the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus said to his disciples. Receive ye the Holy Spirit, the movement of Christ within your consciousness. This is the unveiling of Christ in your consciousness, not these words that we're reading or thinking about, but the experience within you is the unveiling of Christ in your consciousness. It's the unveiling of your soul power, your soul presence, Christ in you. We can measure our spiritual unfoldment by watching whether or not we are trying to improve the physical scene. Now he stresses that over and over. Are we still trying to improve our human life? Are we trying to find that right companion? But we won't talk about that. We'll just see if we can trick God into appearing. Are we still trying to make enough money to pay our bills? But let's not talk about that. Let's see if we can trick God into giving us supply. Are we working on health? Well, let's not talk about that. We'll see if we can trick God into expressing as the health of our countenance. We can't trick God into doing our will. We must. Boy, there's a lot of musts in this chapter. We should go through here and highlight all the musts and see how close we're coming to living this. We must remember that the structural life of man, animal, or plant is not the one life, God, but the human, limited concept about the real life. Therefore, any attempt to heal, change, or correct the physical universe is evidence that we have not developed sufficient spiritual consciousness. We have not developed spiritual discernment. I know this is hard to get a hold of. You're not made to get a hold of it. You're made to step aside and let it get a hold of you. You're made to feel that oneness as it courses through your soul and out into form. You can do it. Christ consciousness recognizes all life to be God, but realizes that what appears to material sight and sound is not that life, but merely the illusion or false sense of existence. Spiritual consciousness discerns, feels the life which is real. All right. You have to sip this. You can't just down it in one swallow. You have to sip it first in your meditation, in your communion, in your prayer. I come here before you to receive what you impart and nothing else. Father, speak. Thy child, thy son, thy servant heareth. And then be still. Be still and know. Be still and feel this presence as it imparts itself to you. It may come as a tingling. It may come as a statement with power behind it, statement of truth. It may come as an instant awareness. Oh, that's what that means. I get it. It may come as a silence, the silence I hear on those winter days when it first opens up and begins to snow, and the snowflakes are falling, and everything is still. It may come as silence, but out of the silence, out of the womb of silence, will come the birth of the Christ presence, and you will feel it. Ah, Christ. As we cannot meet a problem on the level of the problem, we must rise above the level of appearance in order to bring out the harmony of being. We must rise above the level of the problem. We must rise above the level of a mortal. Sit still in the oasis of Christ. That which is visible to the five senses is not the reality of things. Therefore, we cannot think from that level. And so, disregarding appearances, we turn from the picture before the senses and begin there to become aware of reality, of that which eternally is. We begin there to feel the Christ. Now, I had no idea when I entered this chapter that we were going to discover the difference between knowing the truth with the mind and feeling the truth of being. But we have. And when we do that, what do we have? We have the Christ, the name of this chapter. Let us be still for a moment and see if there's anything else. All that the Father has is mine. But that must become an experience where we feel that which the Father has flowing into us. We feel the Christ. If thou would follow me, you must deny thyself, thy mortal self. Come within here and tabernacle with the Christ. The Christ is your feel of the presence within. That feel is conscious awareness. That conscious awareness is consciousness. That consciousness is the Christ. Be ye therefore perfect. Be ye the Christ. Thank you.